Semper Fi, hour number three of Sports Talk here on WWL, AMFM, and.com. Alongside the Cajun Ken and Bobby Hebert, I'm Christian Garrick in for the big chief, Deke Bellavia. And we welcome in now Saints General Manager Mickey Loomis. And Mickey, I know you're out at the owners' meetings in Arizona, but thanks a bunch for taking some time with us.
Well, I appreciate how you guys have me on, Christian. And Bobby, good to be with you guys.
Mickey, everybody's kind of on the Nnamdi Asamoah watch down here. I don't know if you can provide any news, anything with that.
No, there's nothing new here. Look, we had a good visit with him over the weekend, and look, I think he's got some options. And so, the ball's really in his court, and we'll see how it plays out.
Now, Mickey, obviously, when the season was over, everyone, as far as the fan base, I should say, saying, look, we got to get the defense better, whether it be in free agency or through the draft. Then all of a sudden we lose our Jamon Bushrod. Then you have another area of concern. And, considering since 2006, if the offense has not been number one, it's always been a top five offense. Is that unsettling to not have a left tackle in place of considering, you are protecting a franchise quarterback, and are you comfortable going into training camp with just out-and-out open competition for that left tackle spot?
Well, a couple things here. First of all, Jamon did a good job for us throughout the years, but, I heard the same kind of concerns when Jamal Brown left us. And Jamon stepped in at that time and has done a good job for a number of years for us, and so the same thing will happen here. We'll find either a guy that's currently on our roster or somebody we bring in that'll take the mantle, and they'll step up and play well at that position. And frankly, it wasn't a surprise that Jamon went to another team for us. Look, I thought that he would get an offer that we couldn't match, and look, that's exactly what happened. So that's not a surprise. Something that I wouldn't say expected, because look, we want to keep. We want to keep our guys, but it was a difference to call next a year ago, and Jeff Fain a few years back. Is that look, when you have players that play well and your team does well, they become wanted commodities on the market, and that's what happened here. And so, look, we've got to move on. I've said this a number of times. We've got one pie, and we have to divide it up. And sometimes, the slices become too big for us to keep a player.
Now, Mickey, with that being said, and I remember we were in Houston when that all came about, and Jamon Bushrod took advantage of that opportunity. Boy, he got thrown his feet in the fire from the get-go that preseason game. I remember he was outstanding against Mario Williams. Now, going into camp, if it is status quo, is it simply Charles Brown's job to lose, considering more of a veteran than Marcell Jones, or do they alternate? Or what do you think would come about with that from the beginning?
I do think this. We've got a number of young linemen on our roster that we like. They haven't been tested under fire per se, but we like the things that we've seen from them so far. But I will say this, Charles has played in a number of games and done well for us and been able to stay healthy like we need him to. But he's not, no one's going to be handed a job. They're going to have to earn it. And Charles will be no different than any player in that regard that hasn't been a starter. They're going to have to earn that position. It's not going to be handed to them. And we'll have good competition. There's a high likelihood that we'll have other competition come in to compete with him, but he definitely has the talent to be a good player and a good starting player in the NFL.
Now, Mickey, when you look at different scenarios and fans ask me, and I just speculate and say, I think the Saints are open to do anything. The only thing I would say right now with the 15th pick in the draft, I would see us moving back rather than moving up and trying to recoup maybe a second-round pick or something of that nature. But are you in position right now to draft the best player available right now, or do you feel the pressure that maybe you have to go defensively? For instance, I know you never want to reach for a player, even though you might want that competition at off tackle. But would you say a scenario that it's almost you're going to have that defensive player you want at number 15, or if you don't, that you possibly maybe could move back in the first round and maybe pick up a second-round pick?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. And look, I think that the philosophy that's done well for us is to take the best player available. Now, what you hope for and what often happens is, you know, when you're picking, you'll have three guys that are graded, if not exactly equal, then close enough to call it equal. And then you get the option of selecting the position that, you know, better fits your needs. But there's been occasions, and let's go back to Deuce McAllister. The year we drafted him, he was clearly head and shoulders better than any other player we had, you know, on our board. And so we took Deuce McAllister, and that happened again a couple years later with Will Smith. And so, look, what you want is you want the highest graded player to fit a need that you have. It doesn't always happen that way. But more often than not, especially, you know, when you're picking 15th, you know, between 10 and 15, we're going to have three or four players that are graded very high, very similar. And, you know, hopefully one of those will be at a position where we've got, you know, at least a hole, or at least what you would identify as a hole. But if not, we'll take the best player. And I think that'll serve us well.
Visiting with Saints general manager Mickey Loomis here on WWL Sports Talk. And Mickey, if you guys are able to strike a deal with Nnamdi Asamoah, is it conceivable to think that the cornerbacks, Patrick Robinson and Jabari Greer, remain on the roster? Does somebody necessarily have to move?
Yeah, they can certainly remain. I mean, these guys are starting players for us, and Jabari and Patrick have played well. Jabari in particular has been with us for a number of years and started for us and was on our Super Bowl team. And so, look, these are good players. We're just trying to create depth and create competition. So, you know, I would anticipate that we can't have enough good ones, that's for sure.
Now, Mickey, if you look at it, it seems like it happens every year and every team, you know, trying to use their imagination and get something done with the salary cap, how you restructure deals and who has leverage and who doesn't have leverage. We all know what came about with Will Smith and Jonathan Vilma working with the team. And the other speculation was always because of his salary cap number, that being Roman Harper, over $7 million. But have there been any discussions about restructuring maybe Drew Brees' deal where they're still getting their money, or even a Roman Harper? Has that come about, or is it maybe that's a card you're keeping close to the vest that maybe you might go to that player if you're trying to land someone else?
Look, you know, Bobby, I think you know me well enough to know that, you know, I don't really like talking about players' contracts and the things that we are or aren't doing. But here's what I will say in general. Look, we're tight against the cap this year, and we're going to be, you know, we're going to be not as tight, but we're going to be tight again next year. And so, you know, restructuring and just moving money from one year to the next isn't necessarily in our best interest. You know, we've got to comply with, a flat salary cap for a few years here. And so pushing it off down the road just creates another problem for us. So we've got to be very careful about how we do that. You know, as far as anybody specifically, like I said, I generally am not going to talk about any specific guy's contract.
Saints general manager Mickey Loomis here on Sports Talk WWL. And Mickey, you guys did make a couple of splashes in free agency last week. Keenan Lewis, a defensive back that you guys signed away from Pittsburgh on a really good deal, and certainly a New Orleans native. And also yesterday, Benjamin Watson. If you could just talk about those two players and the additions thereof.
Yeah, you know, first of all, you know, Keenan Lewis that's a great addition for us. And I don't know who's more excited, us to have him or him to be back in New Orleans. And so that's really refreshing when a player, a good player who's from New Orleans is just, extremely excited to be with the Saints, the team that he grew up dreaming to play for. And so, you know, we're really glad that we can make that happen. You know, Ben Watson is going to be he's going to be one of those under the radar additions. That's going to be important for our team. And look, he gives us another weapon at the position. I think he's a well-rounded player, and he's a veteran player that'll be real good for Jimmy Graham and our offense in general. And so, look, you know, we're in a position where we're looking for players at good values, and we kind of feel like both these guys fit that bill for us.
Mickey, as you guys transition to the 3-4 defense under Rob Ryan, How much input does Rob, how much do you rely on Rob to provide you guys with intel from players that he may have coached in the past or just guys he's familiar with and he wants on his defense?
Well, it's a good question. I think this, look, anytime we get a coach from another team, then we're always picking their brain about the players that they've been with and that they're familiar with. And so Rob is no different in that regard. You know, we asked his opinion about a lot of guys that he's been around or been with, and as well as, you know, having a conversation with him about the type of players that he needs to implement his defense. And so that's part of the equation, part of the evaluation process.
Now, Mickey, when you look at guys that are established, you know, the Houdan Nation, the fan base, they want to look at household names, and if they still have something left in the tank, so to speak. When you look at a big-name pass rushers older than 30, whether it's a defensive end or it's an outside linebacker, and I try and tell them that a lot of these players, that a lot of it is leverage, that if they can't get the money they want now, that they might not even be an OTAs or mini camp, and all of a sudden, the beginning of August, that they're signing with a team. Could that maybe be the case with guys like, you know, like Dwight Freeney? He's 33 years of age. James Harrison. The fans love him, how he sets the tone. John Abraham, what he's done with the Falcons. Is that a case you've noticed also with all the players that maybe they don't sign really till sometimes, if it's not in their favor, till training camp starts?
Yeah, I think this, Bobby. I think that, look, each guy is different, and each guy's motivation for playing and continuing to play is a little different. And so, look, without talking to each one of those guys individually, you know, it's tough for me to answer that question, although I think everything you said is right. I mean, some guys, you know, clearly they have expectations, and if those expectations aren't met, they're just going to say, hey, look, I'm not going to play here, or I'm not going to take a deal right now. And then other guys, you know, they want to get a job. They want to get in the program right away. And so I think it's different for every guy.
Right.
And so there'll be some guys that probably sign for a lot less than they expected immediately, and then there'll be some guys that decide to wait and do something later in the summer. But as to each one of the guys you specifically named, you know, I couldn't answer about their particular motivation.
Mickey, you're out at the owners' meetings, and I'm curious to get your thoughts on the proposed rule change in the NFL that would make it a penalty for a running back to lead with the crown of his helmet. You guys, I'm sure, have talked about this quite a bit.
Because, yeah, Mickey, I might have to coach up Chris Ivory because how he runs over people.
Well, look, I think that, they tabled that today, so that, I don't believe that came to a vote. But, listen, I would say in the present form, we're not really in favor of it, and yet we understand what the goal is. And so I think, you know, there'll be some more discussion about it.
Mickey, before we let you run, when does maybe drafting a young quarterback to study under Drew Brees become a priority for you guys?
Yeah, it's a good question, something we've talked about a number of times. You know, we haven't felt that urgency because, you know, we had Chase in the program. We felt good about Chase Daniels, and yet, you know, he's no longer with us. He got a nice deal to go to Kansas City, and we understand that. So at some point, we're going to have to address that. I don't know that we feel like it has to be this year, but you know, you always want to have a younger quarterback in your program that you can develop, and so we'll have our eye open for that.
And, Mickey, it just seems like, and, you know, when people ask me, I say, well, there's always going to be, obviously you want to develop a quarterback, but there's always going to be veterans that have had started NFL games. For instance, like Hasselbeck's now with the Colts. You look at Ryan Fitzpatrick now with the Titans. Then you got a guy like Kevin Cobb with the Cardinals who started and, you know, got big money. But then, you know, it's all about where you're going to end up. But it seems like they always do have those veterans that have experience that you so much of, God forbid, something would happen to Drew, you just throwing somebody out there with no experience.
Right. Listen, in an ideal world, you'd have somebody that's got experience that you have confidence in to come in. But, you know, there's also this issue of salary cap. And, look, when you're paying your starting quarterback $20 million a year, then you can't afford to have a $3 or $4 or $5 million backup.
Right.
You know, if you look at the teams that have – the elite type big quarterbacks like, you know, Tom Brady or Drew or
Peyton,
then, you know, the guy that's behind them isn't making a lot of money. And that's just the reality of the salary cap. And so that's something we have to deal with.
Winding down our conversation with Saints general manager Mickey Loomis. And, Mickey, before you run, today is Steve Gleason's birthday. I know a guy that, you know, means a lot to that organization. I just want to give you the opportunity to, you know, reflect on Steve Gleason for a minute.
Well, listen, there's not enough time for me to talk about what I think about Steve Gleason. And I don't have I'm not eloquent enough to describe what he's meant to not just the Saints and our organization, but the entire city. Look, I certainly wish him a happy birthday. I wish I was there today, but obviously we're in Arizona, and I'll get a chance to do that in person when we get back.
Saints general manager Mickey Loomis, anything to add before we let you run?
No, you guys got it all. You got it all covered. As usual, you guys are on top of everything.
Mickey, thanks a bunch for stopping by, and hope to catch up with you down the road as we get closer to the draft.
Absolutely. Bobby, good talking to you. I saw you at the basketball game last week, and appreciate you coming out to watch your Hornets play.
Yeah, I'm going to be there. I'm taking T-Bob Friday night. We're going to see him play against the Grizzlies. And, boy, Mickey, those are great tickets from Kurt Crosby, Crosby Tugs. But that's the closest. You're right there. You can see him diagram plays and all. And, you know, it's amazing, though, Mickey, and you are right there on the court, too, how big these players' feet are. The shoe size, they're unbelievable.
I'll tell you what, the one thing I like about being on the court side is I know the officials can hear me when I yell at them.
Hey, Mickey, great job, Landon, Keenan Lewis, and Benjamin Watson. Hopefully there's more to come. Thanks a bunch for the time.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
All right, Mickey.
There he is, Saints general manager Mickey Loomis giving us, about 16 minutes. We got to step away. We're way over time for a break here, but look, when it comes to Mickey Loomis, you kind of shuffle things around as he's done with shuffling players around. This is Sports Talk on WWL.